If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
Grunny with us here in the Rally House studio.
I want you guys to stop ripping on my Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, they played really well on Sunday.
Stop it.
Stop it.
You guys have been ripping on the Chiefs, the poor Chiefs.
And now he's going to do it.
It's my turn.
Now it's my turn.
It's different when it's your kid, Curtis.
Yeah, it's true.
It's different when it's, you know, like, don't tell me how to parent. Grunny wants to put in his own thoughts.
That's right. I can yell at my kids, but you can't. Oh, my gosh. Boy, oh, boy.
Hoot, wasn't it?
That was ugly.
It was. And, you know, Saran and I, I think we might have said it off the air, but maybe it was on the air, but he said, boy, if they lose this game, I mean, watch out. And watch out is right. I mean, people are kind of in the tank. And maybe I could talk you off the ledge a little bit because I don't think the Chiefs are quite dead yet. I think that there still is a chance. They have a schedule that sets up for them. And listen, December in the NFL is a lot like September in baseball. I mean, that's your moving time. This is when the good teams kind of rise up. And the Chiefs, I still think, are a good team. They have some warts right now. They have some issues. They have some things they need to work on. The arrow is not pointing up right now for the Kansas City Chiefs. But they do have a favorable schedule at home, and December is moving time in the NFL. So, you know, we'll see. I mean, this is a show-me state, show-me Kansas City Chiefs. But they have an opportunity to take advantage of a favorable schedule in a very important time of the year.
If they had gone 5-0, largely winning at Miami, looking at the games they have coming up, winning at home against Buffalo and games like that, and still had to go to New England and play Philadelphia, you'd feel a little bit, you know, less excited about their prospects. But I mean, it does set up well for at least a rebound to get to regain their footing, at least.
The teams, like, it seems like a different time ago. Like, did they beat those teams? Like, the way they're playing right now, you're like, I've been watching the Eagles on Sunday night, I'm like, wow. They controlled that game for the second half against the Eagles, and I'm like, really?
Really, and I'm not trying to give you guys some false sense of hope that you know, once they get in the playoffs and everything's going to be fine. I do think that the Chiefs have an opportunity. First of all, they're going to win the division. You know, and it could be the same old in the playoffs. But, you know, there's some opportunities to do some things here in the next month, which they've got to do. They've got to improve their running game. They've got to run the football. And in December in Kansas City, you know, we're going to have some of those windy, cold games, kind of like what happened in New York. And you can't run in those games. You see what happens. I mean, some of the balls that Alex Smith were throwing, it just didn't look like they had a chance. I mean, they weren't even spirals. So I'm not saying that he's got a weak arm or he can't, whatever. We all talked about that before. But the one thing you have to do is you have to be able to run the ball and you have to be able to control the line of scrimmage, especially on the offensive side. And the Chiefs just haven't done that in this losing streak. They just have not taken the line of scrimmage and made it their own. And that's an issue.
Do they put too many guys? Do they do that to themselves is what I ask. Like, I know the offensive line and the defensive line both, because they didn't sack the quarterback again in that loss. So there's blame just from that, and I think the run blocking is poor. But 38% of the plays in those four losses happened between 0 and 2 yards in the pass game. Aren't they just, like, asking for people to come up and stop the run? They're like for me, like, when I watch offensively, when I think they're struggling, I think it's that they get too simple, and they put everything close, and they try to make it easy. And easy becomes predictable, and predictable comes close to the line of scrimmage, and it makes all that easy to stop.
Well, you have a point. You know, the other thing that just I don't understand is they like to stack in. Now they're bringing an extra offensive lineman in. So now they have three tight ends. You know, sometimes it's two tight ends and an extra offensive lineman. You're piling guys into the box. So you're making it harder to run the ball. I mean, you're going to have 8 guys at least in the box, maybe 9, you know, kind of stacked in there. And it's just whether you can get enough guys hat on a hat in order to run the ball. And what the Chiefs do very well is what I call gap scheme running, where they have double teams and they're pulling a guy, or they have double teams and 2 guys are coming with the Y coming. It's called Colorado Y when they're bringing the Y, or the Colorado F when they're bringing the F, and they're keeping the backside tackle kind of on their guy. So they do well with those things, but when there's a lot of people in there, it's just hard to find those guys. I mean, you know, when you're the Y or you're the F and you're pulling around and you're supposed to pick up that front side backer, you know, where's that front side backer? Is he going to be on the line of scrimmage? Is that safety going to be walked up? So there's just a lot of people that's in the mix, which makes it hard to find guys. I don't understand why they pack it in. You know, when you're going to get a fight, you don't want to get in a fight in a phone booth with a tough guy. All right, you want to get in a fight with some room where you can move around and you can dodge and you can weave and do all those kind of things. The Chiefs are getting a fight in a phone booth and they're bringing everybody inside. There's nine guys in the box and they're getting a fight with, and it's just the numbers just aren't there. I would like to see them spread it out a little bit and take advantage of some of the speed that they have and give those offensive line an opportunity to know exactly where they're going, where things look a little easier.
Is it Robinson and DeAnthony Thomas instead of Conley and Wilson that's playing some factor in that? Like, because they talked a lot about trust, right? In offense, it was Alex finally trusts all of his guys. He has complete faith in all these guys out here. And Albert Wilson was a crutch. And,
yeah.
Like, and I listed off Curtis earlier, the, like, yards per play stat. And, it, you know, Conley and Wilson are 174 and 165. And DeAnthony Thomas is -0.19. And DeMarcus Robinson is 0.03 yards per play. So, you know, like
that's
some
yards
of it,
per play when they're on the field.
Yeah. That's but they also don't put him on the field. Like Grunty said, like some part of me thinks that, like, is it Alex that doesn't trust him or Andy? Like if they're going with those big sets, is he just not lining them up, letting them run downfield? And hey, DeMarcus, you mentioned on the play, like we were talking a break, you mentioned like some of the young guy stuff he did, like on that play that Travis Kelce's throwing it down, he throws his hands up when he's not open.
Absolutely. And that you know, when you're an inexperienced thrower, and well, you're a high school quarterback is what basically Kelce was and basically still is. I mean, he's not an experienced thrower. You guys, the problem really particularly wasn't the throw. I think it was a bad call. I think it was a risky call that you didn't need to do. But the problem is when you're a wide receiver and you have one or two steps on a guy on a play on the backside, you throw your hand up, what's going to happen? That thrower is going to see that hand and think you're open. He was not open.
No.
When Kelce threw the ball down the field, he was thinking, hey, he put his hand up, he's open, I'm going to throw it to him. But the reality of the situation, just like you said, that's what young guys do. When you're open, you run, and you continue to run. It's like that. It's like that guy you play basketball with at the Y that keeps asking for the ball all the time. Mm-hmm. Here, me. You know, I know you're open, okay? Once you say me, everybody's running over there. I can't get you the ball, so stop saying it.
That's Rob in all his leagues.
Yeah, really? I mean, okay, how can you throw me the ball? Because when you said me, six guys ran over there. I mean, what do you want me to do?
I'm actually rooting for them to not pass it to me. Like, I'm going to stand here open and hope they go a different route.
You know, you're waving your arms, standing in the paint. Me, I'm open. Well, you're not going to be.
And
that's exactly what happened.
The defense collapsed on that guy. It's incredible.
It's just amazing how that happened. So,
but to call that play after an extremely desperate Giants team does their own dumb play that ends in an interception, you're like, you saw it. You saw the results of desperation, and you're like, nope, still desperate, still going to really try something. You're like, that was the part that killed me.
It's the combination of elements. It's not just – it's, you know, it's windy. We're not really sure if we can, you know, send our you know, giant-legged kicker out for a field goal. Hey, I got an idea. Let's let a guy who's thrown one pass in a game since high school, let's let him raise up and fire one 50 yards downfield into the wind.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
No, yeah. I mean, hey, listen, those are the kind of things that you put those plays in. Serena and I talked about this many times. You put those plays in to kind of get a little bit of excitement in the practice, get a little bit of excitement kind of going in the meeting rooms. You talk about it. Everybody laughs. Hey, this is going to be great. You practice it a couple times. And guess what? It works in practice because – A, the scout team guy wants it to work or lets it work, or if he breaks it up, everybody yells at him, what are you doing? Why are you breaking that play up? And then all of a sudden you get out in the field and you call it, and I mean, it's just not there. And you know, I think at times, and you know, listen, and Seren says this a lot, and I agree with him, you know, I don't particularly want to rip Andy Reid for designing that play. Maybe a question why he called it, but you know, there's been times when he's had some success with the, you know, pig ride or whatever those things. But you know, after a while, I think you start to press, and I think that's what this coaching staff is doing all around. We'll talk a little bit about the defense coming up here in a minute, but I think on the offensive side, I think Nagy and Reed are pressing, and And maybe it's pressing with, hey, let's get a bunch of guys in there and let's get a hat on a hat and see if we can run the ball and take advantage of numbers, or maybe we're pressing, we're trying to do this and that when it's just not there, and you get frustrated, and as a coaching staff you sit there now on a Monday night and you're trying to figure out, hey, what works? And instead of saying, hey, this and that works, you kind of dictate, okay, I think this and that'll work. We have to put something in that has an opportunity to beat this defense. When in reality, situation at this point, you got to do what you're doing well. Now, what is that for the Chiefs offense right now? I don't know.
Yesterday, nothing.
Yeah,
two days ago, nothing. But
early in the season. Early in the season, listen, they were one of the top offenses. They were throwing the ball down the field consistently, and they were doing a good job with that. Every once in a while, hey, listen, you're going to throw that little bubble pass, and it's going to, you know.
I accept that as being part of the offense.
Absolutely.
It's fine.
You can do that. But, you know, I don't understand. They either, A, have gone away from some of the stuff they want to do in the run game, or they just can't run it because the offensive line isn't good enough. And if it's not good enough, then somebody has to pay.
What's going on with – anybody have – as many times as you've been asked, the mystery remains. Last year, when their run game started to go downhill, I thought it was directly impacted because I thought Parker Anger was a better run blocker than what they were putting in after he got hurt. Now he's healthy and not playing, and I don't understand why. Is he not on page? Is he not in physically good enough shape? What's a good reason? Like, from your perspective, like, what would be a reason that he's just not active on game days?
I have no idea why he's not active. I would think the only thing... that the excuse I can make for the Kansas City Chiefs and that offensive line room is maybe the communication factor. He's not on the same page as some of the guys, but I don't buy that. I think that, listen, this is a guy that last year I thought was the best guy at the point of attack in the run game. I thought he was physical. I thought he had a good pop off the ball. He's got good hips. I think that he's a good guy in the run game is what this team has to get to. He struggled a little bit in the past game with passing some things off, some twists and some stunts and, you know, some of the blitz stuff. He struggled a little bit, but he was also, you know, a young guy. So I don't understand it, you know, and I don't know if this has been asked. I think it's a great question to ask Andy, I know he doesn't like.
Yesterday, he essentially just like, we like the things Fulton are doing, and ignored the anger part of the question.
Yeah, but see, and here lies, you know, listen, I'm not going to sit here and rip on Mitch, but you know, Mitch is, you know, there's some times when he's just not getting any push off the ball, and I think that Fulton is a bigger center. So if they want to get into running some of this zone stuff and some of the stuff that they have been doing, Fulton does a pretty good job of that. So I don't know. I don't get it. I think you got to find the right five guys to put on the field. And, you know, it's not really about, you know, just doing your assignment. It's about getting some push off the line of scrimmage. This offensive line has struggled with getting any kind of push. They've given a penetration or they've gotten no push. And you just can't run the ball if you're doing that. And they just got to figure out what they need to do in order to implement a run game. And whether it's a zone stuff or whether it's a gap stuff or whether it's draws or whether it's open up guys, which I think they should do, you get six guys in the box and you got an opportunity to take advantage of getting a guy on a guy and letting some space. When you put nine guys or eight guys with two tight ends and an extra offensive lineman in there, you're going to have all those guys piled in there, and there's just not a lot of room to run.
Maybe Hunt only needs to break one tackle, not six. Like, it's right now, it's he'll get through the first guy, but then there's four more guys waiting behind him.
Yep.
Didn't get you anywhere. As far as Mitch Morse goes, because there was a story a couple weeks ago, one of the opposing players was talking about him like having a tell when he snapped the ball, like mentioned it in postgame that they knew. David Irving for the Cowboys, that's who said it. But he is coming off that injured foot as a person that knows that position pretty well. What, foot injury and center, like where do those go hand in hand?
It's horrible. I mean, the most games I ever missed was because of a foot injury. So I know exactly what he's going through. And it's hard, especially when I think it's his right foot. I'm almost positive it's his right foot. But
right, I think it is.
I think it's his right foot. You can check that out. But, you know, it's that first step. You know, it's that first step where you got to get that power and you got to get your head across. You know, if you were watching that game last night, you know, the center for the Atlanta Falcons was struggling a lot trying to get his head across on some of those zone plays. And it's really difficult to do, especially when you have a foot that's not 100%. So, listen, I think Mitch is a great center. I think he's going to be a great center for a long time here in Kansas City. He doesn't look healthy, and Tardif really doesn't look healthy.
No, he doesn't. He does not look like the same guy.
They don't, and I don't know. I don't know if it's confidence. I don't know if it's scheme. I don't know if it's hey, listen, they've gone against some good defensive linemen. There's some really good defensive linemen right now in the NFL. I think there's some really big, strong guys.
Left foot.
So that's even worse, because if it's your left foot, what are you pushing off to go? You know, runs are orientated towards the right. It's just kind of the way offenses are called. I would say if you broke down a offensive coordinator and his calls in a run game, it would be 60-40 to the right. Just the way they call it. They like right formations. It's kind of the tendency in coordinators. So now you're pushing off of that left foot for that first step, and you have no power on that first step. And that can affect a lot of what you're trying to do. So, you know, there are some issues, and I think there are issues that can be solved. I think that there are issues that will be solved. I think the Chiefs are going to look better as the season progresses. I'm not sure if they can put it all together to go against a team like New England that really, really looks good right now.
Yes.
They really look good.
So do the Eagles.
They're running the ball well. They're passing the ball well. They're playing better defense. Patricia's done a really good job of saying, hey, listen, we lost these guys. What can I do with this personnel? What can I do with these guys? I'm going to fit my system into these guys and see if these guys can run it. And he's done a pretty good job.
I guess, that's going to be the same question the Chiefs have to ask themselves. They got okay. They let up 9 points in regulation against the Giants. That was an acceptable defensive performance. Anytime you let up 9 points in 4 quarters, you've done your job. There's not a lot of argument. They forced a turnover. They got stops on third down in the zone than they had been in previous games. So things went the way that they were, with the exception being of Philip Gaines, who I'm pretty convinced should never be on the field. Like, I mean, at least he looks lost. He looks lost. Yeah. So if you're Bob Sutton, what can he do? Like, because they have injuries too, right? There is no Barry. Dee Ford's been out. They've had Alan Bailey outright. So they've had to kind of mold that too. And they don't have, you know, inside linebacker play hasn't been what it has been in the past. Obviously, Derek Johnson's gotten older. They don't have their premier safety. They don't feel as good at the second cornerback spot because they were trying to decide between Acker and Mitchell. Mitchell's another guy that I don't get why he's not playing more, because I thought he at least brought some attitude to the defense that I don't feel like they have now or as much now. So, like, what can they do defensively? Because, well, like, one game's not fixed. Like, what can they do to change the way they're
well,
playing?
Well, you know, I'm not here to stick up for Bob Sutton, but I think that he had a nice plan going in off of the bye week. I don't know if you guys noticed.
No, it was good.
But they brought a lot more pressure, especially in third down situations. They were bringing six. They were bringing linebackers, and they were standing up. They were standing up some of their defensive linemen. They were running what they used to call that kind of an amoeba look, or that where it's just kind of jumbled up. And what they were doing, they were slanting two guys to the inside, and they were bringing their linebacker around to try to get some pressure with some speed pressure, which, you know, it worked okay. They still didn't get any pressure on the quarterback. They didn't sack the quarterback, but
they affected a few throws.
They the last pass, Eli Manning, he threw that ball, by the way, for a pass interference. I'm convinced that ball was thrown high and up in the air so that the wide receiver was going to have to come back for the ball. And you guys know what happens: the defensive back's looking at the receiver, and he, you know, whether he can turn around and see that ball or not. All of a sudden, the wide receiver jumps into the defensive back, and it's always a pass interference.
Yeah.
That's exactly what that play was. That was probably practiced. Hey, listen, if we're getting a full pressure, we're going to throw it up, and you run into this guy for some pass interference, and we'll get the ball, and we'll have an opportunity to win the game. So, yeah, I mean, listen, the defense, we could talk about the defense for a while here, but listen, they had 7 drives in a row that ended the Giants, that ended either punt or downs. I mean, so that's a quality performance.
Yeah.
The only problem with that is in a key situation, they couldn't come up with a stop. And you know what? And you can't ask them to do that all the time because, hey, listen, the offense has got to score. You got to score points. I mean, if you don't score a touchdown in a game, that's pretty bad. Especially against a 31st ranked defense. This has been the worst defense in the league coming into that game. I mean, this is the thing that just really frustrates everybody out there. And I understand it. You're looking at a team, the Giants, that were the 31st ranked defense. They were giving up more yards than anybody else. And the Chiefs went in there and they could not score a touchdown. It just gets frustrating.
Who is the biggest threat for them in the West? I still think they're going to win the West, by the way. Anybody want to go opposite of that?
No.
No.
Okay, Rob. No,
the Raiders are the closest, and They haven't exactly.
Chargers are also 4-6.
Chargers are playing the best.
And are playing better than anybody.
Are they playing better than the Chiefs right now?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
They got to come here. Chiefs have already got a win there, so they got to come here.
Just so asking.
I think
they got kind of
okay.
You know, like they get the Jets and the Browns and a better playing right. Redskins team. But I'm just curious if anybody would want a waiver for that.
If you would have told me that Eli Manning was going to be under 50% of completions and they were going to have 7 drives in a row.
Virtually no run game.
7 drives in a row. I don't know how many drives you get in a game, Curtis, but you have 7 in a row that ended punts or downs.
Yeah, you got to
And you're going to lose that game.
I think the average is about 11 possessions
a
game.
So more than half.
Yeah.
By far. More than half.
Oh, yeah. Easily more than half.
And so half of the drives, you're going to get a stop with a punt or downs. And offensively, you know, you can't.
And you're not
going to
let up a touchdown. And,
yeah.
Like that, but that's the Pittsburgh game, except for you did it against a team that was playing woeful. What was it? What was your stat, Curtis? The like teams that allow 9 points or less, Grunny. I mean, they win the game.
Yeah, teams that allow 9 since the merger. Teams that allow 9 points or fewer in regulation win 95% of the time. And I said that also counts games where you allow 7 and 6 and 3 and 0. So the number with exactly 9 is probably lower than 95%. I'm sure it is, but still, I bet it's 80.
Well, the Chiefs have officially hit rock bottom.
Yeah, I mean, they allowed less than 4 yards a carry. They held them to under 50% completion. They didn't let up a touchdown, and they still couldn't win.
The Chiefs have hit rock bottom. I think Chief fans have hit rock bottom. So, I mean, we're all kind of there. The good news for everybody, for them and for Chief fans, is you have 4 games at home in December against teams that you really should beat. Now, in saying that, they really should have beat the Giants, but you guys
they're
going to
be favored in all those games.
They're favored against the Giants too. But we were 0-6 as a Chiefs organization in Giants Stadium or whatever you want to call it, 0-6. So I mean there was that little like well
yeah, but those guys didn't play in this game
and they didn't have Hanley hanged an effigy in a parking lot like you said so. it was ugly, but there are some things that we can look to get this thing back on track.
Now lose to Buffalo at home by 21. Maybe they haven't hit rock bottom. I mean, it'd be hard to have a worse loss than the one Sunday, but it is possible.
That would be new rock bottom. Yes.
Stairs downward. Trust me, I've been the fan of another.
You hit
team.
Rock bottom and you get that shovel and you keep digging.
Royals 2004 through 2006 was one never-ending staircase to a deeper and deeper basement.
Is this as bad as it gets? I don't know. Do they play next week? I mean, it'd be tough to do, but it is possible.
All right, let's bounce back.
All right, we
got it out of our system. Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about what they could possibly do to get this thing back on track.
I like it. Let's take a break, and then we'll talk about some positive
things.
We'll talk some positive things.
Positive and encouraging.
It's Thanksgiving,
yes.
By golly.
We'll talk Thanksgiving sides. That's always positive. We'll do that next year in the program.
All right, the Joe's Kansas City Barbecue burnt end of the hour answer. Chiefs have lost all 7 games against the Giants in New York. How many different head coaches have been involved in those 7 games?
All of them? Got a guess, Crenny?
6.
Only 6. One guy's been involved in 2. The coaches are Marv Levy, John Makovic, Frank Gans, Marty for 2, Herm, and now Andy Reid.
Wah, wah, wah. Boom.
The streak continues.
Wah. The streak.
Before we get into some positive,
yes.
Before we do that.
Well, I think the Chiefs also fall to 3-12 all time against the Giants. I think that is the worst
record against
their
any
worst
team.
Winning percentage against any NFL.
We beat
team
them one time. I can't remember what year it was, but we beat them one time at Arrowhead. That I can remember.
You were there.
You were part of one of 3 very elusive wins against the Giants.
I can't remember. I don't remember the year. I don't. I have no idea.
I think it was 95. It was overtime.
Might have been.
Did you beat him in overtime?
I don't remember.
With Bono?
Can't remember.
You were there. I can't remember that game.
I can't remember.
Yeah, because you have to remember Bono threw a pick at the goal line, and big old Keith Hamilton
went
down the field.
Yeah, I do. I remember that.
They took a 14-point lead, and you guys scored two touchdowns in the final 6 minutes, then beat him in overtime. Well, that was the 95.
I remember Keith Hamilton. I think I was going against him, and he got that interception.
It's weird that game. Listening to Curtis tell you what happened
Curtis
in the game.
Curtis knows everything.
I do. But I was also at that game. I was on the giant sideline in the seats.
I remember half of the game. I don't remember.
Curtis is a steel vault.
He is.
Just real quick, is it a bad look that Charkandrick West is telling fans to not be negative, essentially?
It doesn't help.
Right? To just ignore it. I know it's hard, easier said than done.
I know.
But
believe
in your time,
me, I know.
Believe me, I know. I know it's easier said than done. But, like, hey, by the way, it works the same in, like, a radio job. Like, that segment sucked.
I know.
Thanks.
How many times? Grunhardt's back on. I'm turning the radio off.
Oh, you never had a bad hour at your job? Yeah. Then fuck! Like that.
You come out here and talk about the cheese for an hour. Like, how about that,
buddy?
It just doesn't help, right?
Yeah, it doesn't.
Just doesn't
it doesn't.
Help.
You want to, and you know, it's, you know, haven't you had a bad...
And like, hey, we go through all this together. I'm like, I understand that. But look at from a fan's perspective, too. They've been going through, like, being a fan is, like, exhausting mentally, and they've been doing it for maybe 30
years. Don't you realize
we've
been tortured before you were alive, kid, here in Kansas City?
Like, when you were in fourth grade, Curtis was watching the no-punt game, and it was breaking his heart. He had to suffer mental anguish.
Yes. Oh, boy.
He was watching Lynn Elliott miss kicks when you
were
a baby.
No, you're not allowed to use that name in my presence.
It's profanity.
All right.
Might as well be using curse words. Fine. Let's talk positive. I do want to talk positive because I am in the camp that still thinks there are a lot of things the Chiefs do. And when I look at where they are in the AFC, I still think there are only two teams that are definitively better than them.
Absolutely.
Patriots and Steelers.
Yep.
And I saw them play in a close game with the Steelers and played not their best game. And I saw them beat the Patriots. So I know that they are capable of that level of play. I've seen it. I said before the bye week, I thought the thing they needed to fix first was the offense. Does that still sound right? Now it sounds even more right, right?
I mean, it's absolutely right. And it's the things we were talking about. You know, first of all, you've got to be able to control line of scrimmage and run the ball.
Is first and 10 too predictable? I mentioned to Curtis, I think it was 11 first down runs on first and 10. Are they a little too predictable?
Did they run that many times in the game?
Maybe it was like nine.
I'd found 15 first down runs for
against the Giants.
2.8.
Well, then who was running it?
That was almost all. Well, it was Hill and about, I think, four or five.
And there was one
West.
From Akeem. Maybe was there
one from Akeem Hunt? Kareem
Hunt had, what, four carries in the
first half?
Yeah. So who was carrying the ball?
Yeah.
So maybe there is a problem. Now, I know people are targeting him, and that's fine. But, you know, people always target the best back. Yeah. I mean, it's the offensive line's will against the defensive line. You know, if give the kid an opportunity to make some plays. I don't care if they think you're going to run the ball. They know you're going to run the ball. You can still run the ball.
Or maybe he needs to be more involved in the passing game. Like, make him a threat there, too. Like, it's not just – it's the entire game. Like, that seems like the easiest fix is how do you get Kareem Hunt back involved in this game? And he was closer in that Giants game than he has been some previous. He was over 4 yards a carry. They gave it to him a lot in the second half. But they only gave it to him on first down and only on first down and 10. And if that's the case – teams can figure that out.
I'm gonna go on a limb here, and people are gonna think I'm crazy, but I think the Chiefs need to go under center more, and I'm gonna tell you why. I think the vision for the running back is better because once the quarterback is dropping back and he's reaching out to hand the ball, I think the angle is better than kind of the wraparound or the kind of just, you know, coming across the body, kind of read stuff. And the other thing is, I think when you're underneath the quarterback, you could sell the play action better. It's very hard to sell play action when you're in a shotgun and all of a sudden you're sticking the ball in, and then, you know, because the linebacker who you're trying to sell on the play can see the ball all the time. You remember, we talked about this maybe last week, I can't remember what show we were on, but we were talking about Steve DeBerg and how he would sell that play action. He would hide the ball behind his leg.
Best ever.
And you know, the linebackers had no idea. All you need to do is get those linebackers to hesitate and those safeties to look outside or look inside. For a half a second, and you got them. So in order to you know, facilitate some of the bigger plays down the field, what's wrong with running a play action? And all of a sudden you have Tyreek Hill stalking a corner and, you know, look like he's going to block, and then he takes off with his 4.2 speed, and you got the safety peeking in the backfield. Now you got a one-on-one with Tyreek Hill open. long. So I think they need to go underneath more. I understand the shotgun. I understand that the offense is predicated on some of the stuff of shotgun. But, you know, I think it was yesterday. It was with the Atlanta Falcons. It looks like they go underneath quite a bit. And some of the stuff that they do in their play-action game and some of the stuff they do in their run game, you know, I think is kind of what the Chiefs need to do. Go underneath a little bit. You know, get in there and put a fullback in, and now you and spread guys out. Now you have six guys in the box with a fullback, and now maybe the seventh guy is kind of creeping around the box, but now you have a hat for a hat, and you got a guy leading for your back, so the penetration won't kill you as much as it will if there's only one back there.
Especially, like, the thing that's confusing about the offense having the struggles is that, and I get it, right? Like, we mentioned the two lesser wide receivers, but as Curtis pointed out, if those are the guys that are derailing the offense, you've got bigger problems. They still have that, like, triple threat. They still have Kelce in the middle, Tyreek Hill on the outside, Kareem Hunt underneath. I feel like it's just, like, for some reason, whatever it is, like, when you say they press, I feel like they shrink the field on themselves, and that's unnecessary. Like you said, spread it out. Even if you are under center, that's fine. But some of that, like, if you're saying 15 first down runs on first and 10, can it not be 14 in one play action deep try? Like...
Well, not being effective does hurt the sellability of play action, but you still can do it if you run often enough.
But why beat your head against the wall if it's not working? Like, when you're 10 runs into that, you're 10 runs into first down runs and you're averaging 2.5 yards a carry, for those next 5-1, they should be anticipating that. So use that to your advantage, like you said, and then just kind of work toward that. I think the offense has a lot of upward potential, because we've seen it.
And you're exactly right. They still have that three-headed monster. They still have a great court running back. They have a great tight end, and they have a wide receiver with good speed. They have got to find a way to take advantage of those three guys, and whether it's a sell to the running back, having the tight end clear, and having speed down the field, they've got to take advantage of those three guys. And it doesn't seem like they've been able to do that. They've been running a lot of just kind of, you know, the hitches and you know, and the bubbles and stuff like that to kind of get the ball out quickly, which, you know, I don't think the offensive line is that bad in pass protection. You know, I think they can give Alex Smith a little bit of time. They've struggled in the run game. Obviously.
And that game too, like on rewatch, he did some stuff that has gotten him in trouble before, which is escaping the pocket before he needs to escape it, which quarterbacks do. Sometimes you, like, especially when you've just been getting beat back there for a while, you're like, you get happy, or is it the guys aren't going to get, but I agree. Like, on offense, though, like, for me, I do think all of their problems are fixable.
Yep.
Because I just don't, like, they didn't lose some player that is irreplaceable. It's not like Eric Berry, and they're like, okay, we got to redesign the defense now. We have problems. This is a guy that we planned on being a part of a single high safety setup, and we don't get to do that now, and we have to change the way that we play. I don't think they have to change the way they play. And Tyreek Hill is still on pace to average 1,100 yards this season in the receiving game and have 7 touchdowns and have some rushes to go with it. Like, to have a 1,000-yard receiver in him, Kelsey's pacing for over, to have 2 1,000-yard receivers. And what's Kareem Hunt pacing for at this point? Like, he has 74
he'll
yards?
He'll be over. He'll be over 1,000
through 10
yards.
Games, he has 873.
That would be
87.3
times 10, right? So 18. No. What's the... you have to look.
He's going
to
have over 1,000.
About 1,400 yards.
So, I mean, that
to have 2,000-yard wide receivers and a 1,400-yard rusher.
Although, that 1,400 yards, that pace... takes into account the monster pace he was at early in the year.
Oh, God, when he was pacing for 2,500 yards.
The trend is not good. Now, the four games prior to Sunday, he was averaging 14 for 48. Now, he had 73 on 17 carries or 83 or something like that on Sunday. So that was a little better, but the trend is not.
I'm not saying you have to recreate those numbers, but you got to find a way to kind of get back to that standard of 100 yards rushing. And, you know, 25, 30 yards receiving out of the backfield from your back. You've got to find a way to do that. And that's the call. That's what Andy Reid, I still think that Andy Reid is the kind of head coach that he's been through these swoons before. He's been through these problem times, and he's got an opportunity to get him out of it.
Why do they get Like, what do you think it is? Why do they have these stretches like this in every season?
I think...
Because 4 out of 5, they have had these, like, they have these down stretches, it seems like, in every year with Reed.
Well, because, I mean, I don't think they're an elite team. I think at times they play really, really well, and then all of a sudden they hit the skids. I mean, that's just kind of the way this team has been set up for a lot of years. I mean, you go on a run of 4, 5, 6 games, and you win, and then all of a sudden... You know, you lose 3 out of 5, and then you finish off 2-2.
You win
2-2.
4-5. Yeah.
I mean, and that's kind of the way this team has been. And whether that's good enough or not, it depends on what, if you're a fan, if you're happy with, hey, 10 or 11 wins, that this team is set up for 10 or 11 wins. And, you know, get in the playoffs, and, you know, it hasn't shown that it's been able to win playoff games.
Because they haven't been able to recreate when they're playing great. In the playoffs, like for those games that they play great, they haven't been able to recreate that game when it mattered.
12-2 after a 2-2 start, or 10-2 after a 2-2 start last year was really the only. That's like the least streaky part of the mm-hmm. the 5 years he's been here. But of the other four, 3 of the 4 times that bad streak has come after good football. I mean, 2015 was the 1-5, and then they won 11 straight. But in 2013, in 2014 and this year, all three times the fall down has been after good play. It hasn't preceded the good play. I mean,
yeah.
Is it just they cook up something in the off season, it works well, and then at some point the rest of the league adjusts to what Andy has cooked up for this year's
and
team.
Then he's got to get halfway through the year and do it again
and readjust. And at this point, they haven't been able to find it.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I do think that, you know, that Andy does an unbelievable job early in the season to put together a game plan, put those packages together where he can put those packages up on the shelf and say, hey, listen, okay, in this game, remember, this is the package we want to go to. Bam, they can pull that out. And I think they do a really good job of that early. What this coaching staff, what they're called to do now is they've got to adjust. You got to make that halftime adjustment. But the half of the season adjustment, and this there'll be the telltale whether the staff can do that or not.
That's what was so concerning about the offense coming into that
bye week,
game.
Though. That's like where you make your adjustment. Right?
Every quarterback was throwing for 300 yards and 3 touchdowns against the Giants, and then they had the bye week, and you're like, gonna fix it.
Yeah, giving up 433 yards and 28 points for previous 6 games, and they got to 360, but a lot of that was 20-20, clearly, and 9.
Yeah,
and this was the game you were supposed to get well. Coming off the bye week, all the self-scouting, all the adjustments, are going to put this thing in plan, put this plan in action, and take off in the second half, and you throw up the worst offensive game you've had all season.
I think you need to Bull Durham them a little bit. You got to scare these kids. You know what? When he went up to Kevin Costner, he said, "What do I do with these kids? I don't know what to do with them." He said, "Scare them. They're kids. You know, throw the bats at them. Call them lollygaggers." Yeah. You're lollygagging on the field. You're lollygagging off. What does that make? Lollygaggers. So, I mean, you got to scare these guys. I mean, it's hard to do in the NFL. I understand that. But, you know, what Marty would do, and, you know, whether it's right or wrong, or I don't know, you have to depend on what he would cut guys. He would say, all right, you know, I'm going to find a couple guys on the bottom, cut them. Say, that could be you next. Pick up your game. That'll scare you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't care who you are.
So any kind of
scare these guys a little bit. I think they're too comfortable. I really do. I think they're very comfortable. I think they were comfortable in the beginning of the year. They were scoring points. You know, you didn't really have to tackle. I'm not going to throw my body in there. So I could arm tackle this guy. Or, you know, I don't have to finish my block out on the edge now because, we Kareem Hunt's going to run him over anyway. So I don't have to finish a block. Well, guess what? It's not happening now. So scare them. They got to get scared back, scared straight. You know, get back into, you know what, and Andy Reid, I don't know if he has that in him or not, but if he does, that's what's got to happen.
It better happen. If they're not scared after Sunday, if that isn't, you know, if
that's
that wasn't
as scary as it gets.
Hey, bringing around
I'm scared.
Team.
I'm scared to death.
Yeah, that's horror show stuff. Let's take a break. Let's talk about at least one change some fans are calling for. We'll do that next year in the program. All right, Grenny. Seems like there's a large fan contingent that's ready for Mahomes. What say you?
You know, I wouldn't mind seeing Mahomes getting some snaps. Wouldn't mind seeing him getting a series or two here and there. I don't see how that would hurt. especially if you know this team can find a way to get ahead by 21 points or something. Get him in there and let him stretch his legs out a little bit, stretch that arm out a little bit, and see what he can do. I have no problem with that. I mean, listen, he's not.
Talking about complacency. That'd really stir it up.
Yeah. Well, I mean. You know, if you came out and said, "Hey, listen," you know, Andy Reid says, "Hey, listen, you know what? We're gonna put Pat in and see what he can do. You know, if we get ahead, or you know, we feel like there's a time in the game where you know we have things in hand a little bit that you know we're gonna put him in there and see what he can do." I think that would be great for him. I think it'd be great for the team. I think it'd be great for Kansas City. And to be brutally honest with you, I don't think Alex Smith would be that peed off about it. I really don't. I mean. You know, as long as he was explaining, hey, listen, we're going to get him in there and get him some reps. And
either
you know.
Up a lot or down a lot. The problem is the Chiefs do not play that way very often. They do not get up a lot or down a lot very often.
Well, there's some opportunities in the next four games. They really should get up a lot on some of these teams. Now, whether they do or not, I can't predict.
Sure.
And you know, Rob said, you got to make your prediction. I'm like, I don't want to make my prediction this week. I don't want to make it. But the reality of the situation is that, hey, you know what? You drafted this kid in the first round, all right? And you don't really want to turn him into the Peterman. You know, the Peterman factor is not a good thing. That's not a good thing for a kid to walk in and not be prepared and throw five picks in the first half of a game. Because, you know, that tends to affect the rest of your career. It tends to, you know.
Think you can never make a pass without
now,
it being picked up by
now,
the
other team? I'm going to ask Curtis here because he is the expert. Who was the last quarterback that was a rookie that threw five interceptions before 20 passes?
Wow. Do you know the answer to that question?
I do.
Because I don't. Give me a team.
Huh?
Leaf.
Saints.
Archie Manning.
Wow. Archie Manning threw like five picks in his first
Much
game.
Better
By the way,
that, than anyone it, ever
But he turned
for.
Out okay.
His team was so bad.
A couple weeks ago, Blake Bortles, who was like giving advice to DeShone Kizer, and his advice was like, just try to throw it to your team more than their team, like as much as possible. Like, yeah, I mean...
But, yes. You know, it'll be really interesting to
I'm
see
curious.
If this team has the issue of, you know, they have 10 wins or 11 wins, and then they go in the playoffs and they lose in the second round, you know, I think it's time for Alex Smith to go somewhere else. It really is. I mean, and there's nothing against Alex, and he's had a good year, I mean, maybe a great year at times.
But at that point, they might have seen the pinnacle of what they can get to at that level. And that's I'm with you, too, by the way. I think he's the starter the rest of the year and should be. And I think at the end of this year, if it's the same result, you're in the postseason, you lose at the Steelers or at the Patriots, then I think that's the Chiefs' plan, too.
And I know there's people here at Kansas City that love Alex Smith, and what are you talking about? Why would you get rid of that quarterback? He's won you football games. I think it'd be good for both. I think it'd be good for the Chiefs. I think it'd be good for Alex Smith.
Biggest fear is, like, you got to trade him because there would be a strong argument of him going immediately to Denver. And the way that defense plays instead, that would be an infinitely better team.
I'm telling you, Alex Smith would go somewhere, and he'd have a couple productive years. And you know
I
what?
Think so.
And that's great. But
you don't want it to be in Denver.
You don't.
If you're Kansas City.
You don't. You know, listen, you go out and you move up and you get Patrick Mahomes. It's time to let that stallion out of the barn. And see what he could do. I don't know.
God, he threw five picks. Can you imagine how quickly the feeling of excitement would go away if he had a Nathan Peterman have to be like, oh no, oh no,
yeah,
oh no,
yeah. I don't even want to imagine that.
Hey, by the way, we can get into detail later. Paxton Lynch officially at the top of the depth chart for the Broncos.
There you go.
Hey,
there's a lot of bad quarterbacks out there right now.
Yeah, Alex Smith would start for still 10, 12, 15 teams in the league just based on the garbage that is out there.
All right.
Doug Gottlieb next here in the program.